Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. It's a beautiful Wednesday evening. Hopefully you've had a peaceful drive home, or if you are in the car with us right now, hopefully it will be a peaceful, easy listening drive home. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr. will join us in hour number two. Matt Wilson is our producer. Matt's in the command center. Big show lined up for you tonight. We will talk Hurricanes baseball with the skipper Gino Demare here in just a moment or two. Also joining us on the show will be left fielder Jordan Lala. Lala started the game last night with a home run to right field. Had four hits against Carolina on Sunday. Homered last night. Canes beat Florida Gulf Coast. So Lala joins us, one of my favorite players. He'll be with us at 6:20. And then right around 6:40, we will turn our attention to one of the most successful coaches, not only at the University of Miami, but anywhere. How about this resume? To the Sweet 16, 12 of the last 14 years. Elite 8, 8 of the last 16. Paige Yaroshuk-Tuge, University of Miami women's tennis coach, will join us. We'll talk about her team. We'll talk about Stella, who's got a chance to win another national championship. We will talk about their adventure at the ACC tournament and just her coaching philosophy, her overall coaching philosophy. And I always enjoy my time around Paige. She's a great coach, wonderful person, and will crack you up. So Paige Yaroshuk-Tuge joins us to close out hour number one. DJ Irving, new University of Miami assistant basketball coach, comes to the Hurricanes from Philadelphia. The Canes have gotten some great players from Philadelphia, Isaiah Wong being one of those. Hopefully he comes back. Lonnie Walker from just outside of Philadelphia, Reading, Pennsylvania. Jaquan Newton from Philadelphia. Davon Reed from just outside of Philadelphia. DJ Irving, highly successful high school and AAU coach, joins Coach L's staff. We'll talk with DJ Irving. And then tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, is the day everybody is waiting for. It's the NFL draft. And Don Bailey Jr. and I have seen a lot of these players, not only the University of Miami players. We're probably the only guys up in town that have seen a lot of these guys up close and personal. Not only Jalen Phillips and Quincy Roche and Brevin Jordan and Greg Rousseau, Jose Borregales, but Ja'Marr Chase. We saw him at LSU. We saw Devontae Smith in the championship game down here against Ohio State. Justin Fields. We saw him, of course, the Clemson players. We saw those guys going against the University of Miami. Etienne, perhaps a guy Miami would take as a running back. So Don Bailey Jr. and I will have our draft preview in hour number two. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we spoke with Greg Rousseau. We're going to replay that interview because it's on the eve of him perhaps being a first-round draft choice. So we'll close out the show with Greg Rousseau. So that's the lineup coming up for you tonight as we talk Hurricane sports. So don't miss our draft preview in hour number two as Don Bailey Jr. joins us for our draft preview. Meanwhile, we will start hour number one talking about University of Miami baseball. We are coming down the home stretch. If you look at the projections, they have Miami in the NCAA tournament. One projection has the Hurricanes going to Nashville, Tennessee as a number two seed. This year, the sites are going to be announced coming up here in a couple of weeks. So it's possible, it's conceivable that Miami could be on the road at a regional and then eventually be a number one seed if they finish the year strong. They could host. They're probably on the outside looking in right now because of COVID. The sites are going to be announced earlier, so we'll see how that shakes out. But they are going to be, right now, they're firmly entrenched in the NCAA tournament, but a strong finish would really enhance their possibilities in the postseason. So we're going to talk about that with Gino DeMari as the Canes get ready for a weekend series against Boston College. Last night, the Hurricanes were a winner against Florida Gulf Coast. Six pitchers combined to throw a three-hit shutout against Florida Gulf Coast. Third shutout of the year for the University of Miami. And joining us on the show is the skipper, head coach Gino DeMari. And Gino, congrats on the victory last night. I know you have really emphasized these midweek games, and your team is undefeated this year in the midweek contest.
Yeah, well, we've played well. I mean, we've swung the bat well, we've pitched well, we've defended well, we've played really complete games in the majority of them. And, you know, the midweek games are important. They're, you know, for us, we're playing in-state teams that have high RPI, so it's good for our RPI. I think I just saw ours jump up quite a bit after last night's win against Gulf Coast because they have a good RPI. So, you know, they're important games. And we've done a good job with the midweeks, and we need to carry it over to the weekends. There's no doubt there's been a difference in our play in the inconsistencies on the weekends as opposed to really consistent playing well during the weeks.
Gulf Coast is a bubble team right now, so they could be in the tournament. That was a big game for them last night. So you're getting the best shot from these teams around the state. And it was impressive with the way your guys threw last night. Gulf Coast hadn't been shut out in a year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, no, Gulf Coast swings the bat. They have a good offense. They have good numbers. We went into the game knowing that Jake was not going to be extended. And we were going to throw a lot of guys out of the pen. We feel good about our bullpen. We really do. I mean, we just got to give them more opportunities. But in the right way. You know, I don't want to go on the weekends and have to go to our bullpen in the third, fourth, or even fifth inning. We need to get more extension from our starters, which to me is going to be a big key for us moving forward and how this thing all unfolds here down the stretch. Our starting pitching has got to do a better job of getting us deeper into the games, because I do see signs of the bullpen really kind of coming together. We know at the end with Palmquist has been maybe one of the arguably the best closers in the country. And we feel good about, and as you saw, a number of guys that we can bring out there late in the game. But you don't want to have to go to them early, you know, in games and early in the weekend series as well. So, and I feel good about our offense. Our offense is starting to swing the bat better. And so very, very important, you know, for us to kind of pull this thing together and make a really good push and a run where, you know, we expect to be playing at the end.
While we're on the bullpen for a moment, and we've talked a lot about Palmquist, but over the last 20 games, your bullpen has been very good. Smith did start last night, Jake Smith. You had Andrew Walters in there, Badanza came in. Fetterman is seems like you're finding a nice role for him, carving out a niche. And then McFarland came in last night. I'm looking at it going, this guy is throwing a midweek game out of the bullpen at 96 miles an hour. So you've got some arms coming out of the pen.
We do. I mean, we have a number of guys. The guys, everybody that threw, I mean, are 90 plus. And then, of course, Jake. I mean, Jake's a mid-90s guy as well as Victor. And Spencer, it was nice to have Spencer Badanza, who's been out most of the year, back. He's thrown a few times now, and he's looked better and better. You know, as a left-handed guy, we need that because we lost Gates and Mike Rosario, who should be coming back in a few weeks, were lefties that we were kind of counting on. So Badanza's been big. And, you know, Aguayas, of course, is a guy we've gone to a lot. But McFarland, you know, and Walters, I mean, McFarland, I guess he's, I watched the game back, was up to 97 or 98, and Walters is mid-90s. So that's all well and good. I mean, we love to have good arms and velocity, but again, you still got to locate. You still got to be able to throw your off-speed stuff. You got to be able to throw multiple pitches, pitch backwards, all things that are going to help you be successful. If those guys with their stuff can do that, it's just going to make it so much easier on them and the team. So we're, again, excited about the depth of our bullpen and it coming together because we still, I mean, this late in the year, it's been a little bit inconsistent at times with our bullpen. But again, I'll reiterate, the starting pitching is going to be the key. We got to be able to go a little deeper in the games and then go to these guys when it's a little bit later in the game.
Hurricanes will be on the road this weekend at Boston College. We will talk about that series coming up with head coach Gino Demare here in 1 second. But Gino, last night, Lala got you started. He had four hits against Carolina. Then last night, hits the leadoff home run. How much of an impact did that have on your team, and how much do you need him to be that catalyst?
Huge. Huge. He's not had the year that, you know, I know he expected and we've expected, but we still have another month of baseball to play in regular season, let alone postseason. And so, you know, there's things that he's been working on and trying to do better. And it's slowly, you can see the adjustments being made. Still has some issues sometimes with certain zones and pitches. But, you know, the four hits he got, like you said, on Sunday, it's got to help him in his confidence, and then leads off the game. He hits that home run into the wind. And so he's a big key because we got all these guys, you know, you feel like swinging the bat. Dell is starting to swing the bat the way we know he can swing it. Of course, his brother, Christian Deli's been swinging it great. I think Ray Gill is swinging the bat as good as he swung it all year, no doubt. And he's swinging it the way I expect him to hit. And of course, Terrell's been hitting the ball better. And that's kind of your 4, 5, 6, and 7 hitters. We need guys to get on base. And Jordan and Villar are a huge key. Any offense, if it's going to go, you need those guys up at the top of the order. They got to set the table, and Jordan's got to be able to do that consistently.
You did have Adrian Del Castillo in right field last night next to his brother who is in center field. What spurred your decision to put Adrian back in right field? He played there his freshman year. Was last night just a rest for his knees and a rest from behind the plate?
Well, we have been catching Carlos Perez most of the midweek games, other than one. I believe he's caught in all the other midweek games. And so that was kind of the thought coming in that we were going to catch Carlos, who we think does a very good job behind the plate. And, of course, he got a huge hit for us on Sunday. But even if that didn't happen on Sunday with a hit, the pinch hit, two RBI hit there, we were going to catch Carlos because he needs to catch midweeks, and we're not going to catch Adrian every single game. The reason we put Adrian in right field is I wanted to keep Gill in the lineup. And if we DH'd Adrian Dell, like we had been in these midweeks, then Gill, there's really nowhere to put Gill. And Gill, I mean, we had, what, three hits on the first of a doubleheader in North Carolina. Gill gets three hits. And then we, of course, second game of the doubleheader, we DH Dell and catch Carlos, and Gill comes out of the lineup. And, you know, that's tough to write out a lineup when I think Ray Gill is swinging the bat as good as anybody on our team. So that was the reason I put Dell in right, is to give Gill an opportunity to be the DH and stay in the lineup, basically.
Yeah, that gives you good flexibility, though, right? I mean, it's good to have flexibility, especially at this point in the season.
It does. And again, Dell has done it in he only, I think, played it one time last year. And of course, like you said, he did play a lot in his freshman year, but he hadn't worked a whole lot there this season at all, really. We put him out there for BP yesterday and Gill as well. Look at those guys to see. And Dell definitely is very, he looks comfortable out there, and it does free him up from catching. It also keeps him in the lineup. So if he was the DH and God forbid something happened where we had to bring in a catcher, of course we would bring in JT. But, you know, Dell can come in from right and catch, and then you're not losing your DH if he was DH. And so it gives you a lot of flexibility. We're trying to put a lineup out there, Joe, that can, you know, give us the best opportunity to score runs to be successful. And nine guys, we need nine guys giving great at-bats. And, you know, yesterday's lineup, probably at that moment, is probably our better nine guys. And so you know, just trying to figure out a way to be able to do that on a consistent basis.
Hurricanes will be in Chestnut Hill to take on Boston College this weekend. Speaking of good at-bats, the last 10 games, Christian Del Castillo is hitting .447, two homers and nine RBIs. He's been consistent for you all season long.
Yeah, I mean, you say last 10 games, but he's done it all year long. I mean, my goodness, he's been our most consistent hitter. I mean, he's hitting .368. The next highest hitter on our team is his brother Dell at .311, but I would expect that number to come up. I really like the way that Adrian's swinging the bat right now. But Christian's been our guy. He's, you know, we're hitting him right behind his brother, who's arguably one of the more respected hitters in the country. And so that guy who hits behind Adrian's got to be a pretty good hitter. And Christian's been able to do that. And that's not where we thought he was going to be hitting for. Of course, he's exceeded our expectations in so many different ways in the outfield and just clutch hitting, overall hitting, just everything. He's just been a great player, but he's really been that same guy since he got here in the fall. He stood out in the fall as really one of our better players, and he's continued to do it this spring. Just very fortunate to have him on our club.
You mentioned your starting pitching. You put Jake Garland in the rotation a couple weeks ago, and he's responded pretty well. Six-plus innings in five of the seven starts that he's had. Also leads your team in wins. I think sometimes guys just find ways to win ball games. Maybe their ERA isn't the best, but sometimes guys find ways to win. He's winning. His ERA is pretty good. What have you seen in his development?
Yeah, so, you know, his last outing was an interesting one because I didn't think he threw exceptional, not to his abilities, but he was able to, again, much needed. We needed a starter to go deep into the game, and he battled through that game and got us six innings, which we were able to turn it over to Fetterman and Palmquist, and that was huge for us. But Jake is a guy that, and when I say he wasn't on, I mean, I just, you know, his changeup maybe wasn't located where he'd like it. He got away with really throwing mainly his fastball because I didn't think his off-speed was as effective as it can be. But Jake's a guy that gets – he pitches to a lot of contact, which means you can get early outs, means he can go deeper into the game because of pitch counts when you're getting early contact. And a lot of his contact is ground balls because he's got the sinker. And so, you know, that's why you're not going to see a lot of high strikeouts with him per innings because he's pitching to contact, which is great. That's what you want. And you want to be able to get in and get out of there and get your hitters up and be able to have short innings and low pitch counts so you can go deeper in the game. That's what we need right now with our pitchers. And Jake maybe has been our most consistent guy, albeit he's a lot of his sample size has been from midweek games. Still doesn't matter to me. He's pitched so well enough to where he's earned the right to be in the rotation, and of course he'll continue to do that for us.
You are a stickler for defense. Your team has made one error or fewer in 17 straight games. What do you attribute the really good defense to?
You know, I felt like our defense was good all along. Not sure why we struggled there earlier. In the first half, I guess, of the season, of not playing very good defense, but we have talented guys. I think that the guy that sticks out to me the most is playing in the most important position on the infield. That is, and that's the Patelli. He's just been very, very not only steady in making the routine plays, he makes some tough plays too. He's been outstanding. But again, we were very excited and high on him from day one when we saw him. We were like, oh, my goodness, this guy can be one of the better shortstops we've had here in a long time. And he certainly has shown that as a freshman. And, of course, him and Anthony in the middle have been great. We're turning more double plays. Anthony's always been steady and solid, consistent for us. Yo-Yo's playing a new position, and maybe that's the one thing that's turned and changed, because you're talking about a guy who's played short most of his life. And moving to third base is not an easy position to play, especially with the aluminum bat. The ball gets on you quick. The reaction, which he's still working on, is a very difficult one because everything happens so fast. He has gotten better. So he's not making the errors maybe. And, you know, he had an error last night. It wasn't a routine play. The ball was hit hard, but we'd like him to make that play. But it's a reaction play, and that's what he's got to continue to work on, and we'll do that today in practice. I know we talked about it today in our coaches meeting, but you know, and Alex has been steady and consistent over at first base. So really I'm just talking about the infield, but of course, catching wise, we've been great behind the plate, and Deli has been outstanding in center field for us. So I see no reason why our defense can't continue to keep doing what we've been doing.
Yeah, very important too, this late in the season. Speaking of being late in the season, do you keep an eye on rankings and projections for the postseason and all of those things? And how do you feel about your pole position in terms of where, not the baseball polls, I guess using pole position as a racing analogy, but how do you feel about where you are right now heading into the final couple of weeks of the year?
Well, it's not where we'd want to be, but you know, right now you got to be more concerned about where you are playing wise as a team. We've got 4 weeks left to go regular season. They're going to make the announcements in terms of hosts in 2 weeks. They're not going to seed everybody, but they are make the announcements. To me, you know, you don't know what's going to happen with the situation and COVID and where they're going to come up with who's hosting and who isn't. We certainly have not played well enough or consistent enough up to this point to say that we can host. So for me, I think the biggest key is to finish these last 4 weeks. We got an opportunity, obviously, this weekend to continue to play well. We got Appalachian State. We only have one more midweek game. And then, of course, we finish up with Georgia Tech and Louisville, which are very highly ranked teams. You know, those series could come down to us possibly, if we play well all the way through, being a number one seed. We might be on the road, but you could be a number one seed. If we play well and win all these series out, I don't see why we wouldn't. Our RPI has been, I think, up to 17 or 18 in the country now. So the end of the day, my concern is not so much rankings as it is us playing the game the way I know we can play the game. And if we do that, then we can put ourselves in a position to, even if we weren't hosting, maybe be a number one seed. But again, the hosting thing, I'm just not sure how they're going to, you know, reward teams for that this year. I would assume there, a lot of it's going to be on merit, how you play. But also, I think the COVID and putting people in places where they can handle multiple teams and things like that is going to come into play too. So we just got to worry about how we play, Joe.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you this. I was watching one of these big league ball games the other day. This guy, Ohante, who plays for the Angels, he's a two-way player. He's a pitcher that throws 100 miles an hour. He also hits. He bats second or third in the lineup, and the ball comes off his bat over 100 miles an hour. Then he'll play the outfield as well. Do you think that might spur more two-way players?
Well, there are two-way players out there, but and will it spur more? Maybe. It might. But I will tell you that is the hardest thing in our sport. You just, even at our level, we have some guys that are two-way guys, and it's very, very difficult to be very good at both of them, or to be good at both of them. Very hard to do it for that guy to do it at that level. I mean, that's why you haven't seen it in so many years, and I don't expect you to see a lot of guys be able to do it. That's just a very, very special player.
Yeah, he's like modern-day Babe Ruth. I mean, it's incredible the way he throws. Real fast, Boston College coming up. You had them in the Super Region, one of the more memorable Super Regionals back in 2016. But this is a club, maybe their record is not indicative of their talent.
That's true. They came into the year very highly touted. They got three guys could be top picks. Maybe the best second baseman in the country and center fielder. Certainly they're ranked up there high. And then, of course, they got a pitcher that's very good. Their record does not show. The ACC, it's the toughest our conference has ever been. And obviously they're playing a lot of good competition. So I wouldn't get caught up on the record with them. You know, we know we've played ACC teams throughout the year and know that every one of them can beat you at any game, so any day. So we got to be prepared and ready to play against these guys.
All right. Congrats on the win over Florida Gulf Coast. The best of luck this weekend against Boston College.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
University of Miami head coach Gino Demare still to come. Jordan Lalla, Hurricanes left fielder, led the ball game off last night with a home run. Then we finish up hour number one with Paige Yaroshuk Twos talking about University of Miami women's tennis. Hour number two, DJ Irving, new University of Miami assistant basketball coach Don Bailey Jr. and I will preview tomorrow's NFL draft, including a look at the University of Miami players. And then we will also hear from Greg Rousseau. All of that is coming up on the Hurricane Hotline.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
University of Miami baseball team, a winner last night, shut out Florida Gulf Coast, 23-13 for the year, undefeated in midweek games, and this weekend on the road against Boston College. The Canes started last night with a bang, a leadoff home run by Jordan Lalla, who is our guest right now on the show. Lalla, thanks for being with us. Great way to start the ball game last night.
Thank you. Yeah, for sure. It definitely was.
Take us through that, because you are the catalyst as a leadoff guy, but what did you see? You hit the ball well. You hit it out of the ballpark. It was a no-doubter.
Yeah, I mean, we were watching video before the game, and it was a guy we had previously faced over at their ballpark, so I kind of knew what he had coming. I knew I was going to have to let the ball travel and get deep, and normally I'm looking middle away, and he kind of made a mistake and threw a ball up and in, and I turned on it.
Yep, your third career leadoff home run. I imagine that's a thrill, right, to lead the ball game off with a home run?
Yeah, it's always nice, especially when you could put up a run in that first inning. It kind of gives the team a little bit less confidence.
Where do you think you are right now with your offense? You had four hits, a career high on Sunday against North Carolina. Led the game off last night with the home run. Do you feel like as we get late in the season, you're starting to see the ball better? Where do you think you are with your offense?
Yeah, I think I've been swinging a little better as of lately. Still definitely not up to what I'd like to be swinging at, obviously. But, you know, I just got to keep putting in work and making the adjustments, and hopefully I'll start heating up even more here shortly.
Leadoff guys can be judged a lot of different ways, right? Some will look at average, RBIs, all that stuff, but your primary job is to get on base. You've been on base 30 of 36 games, eight straight. Let's talk a little bit about, in your mind, the importance of getting on base.
Yeah, that's definitely my number one priority when I step in that box, being the leadoff guy. You know, Gino always tells me, you know, your job is to get on base, and I know I got guys behind me that are going to be able to drive me in. And normally, if I do get on base, I know I'm gonna score, or I'm gonna put the team in a good position to score. So,
do you feel like the team's offense here in the second half of the season is starting to pick up? That's been a little bit of a I don't know if the proper term is struggle, but maybe a little inconsistent offensively. Do you feel like as a team you're starting to put it together?
Yeah, we've definitely. I mean, we know the talent we have, and we know what we're capable of doing, and we know we haven't been playing up to our ability. And I think we're just pressing really hard, and, you know, our coaches kind of just told us to relax and, you know, go have fun, like, play like it's your last game. And yeah, yes, we haven't been swinging the bats how we like, but, I mean, I'm happy with where we're at, and I think we're in a good position right now.
Wait a minute, you always have fun playing baseball, don't you? When I look at you in the outfield, what I see is a guy that has a lot of joy.
Yeah, I'm always smiling. I try to be the spark to the team and bring some energy every day. So,
do you find that to be kind of a natural thing when you're the leadoff guy? You're the catalyst. So if you're the catalyst, you got to be the guy that brings the energy to the ball club.
Yeah, I mean, we all mess with each other and practice in the game, and I mean, we've been playing together for this will be basically our third season with I mean, there's a lot of veteran guys in the lineup, and we have fun playing together. So.
How much time do you guys spend, or do you spend any time at all, number one, peeking at the standings, and number two, this is the time of the year where people start talking about regional play and projections and all that stuff. Are you aware of where you might be standing right now?
As of right now, if you ask me, I wouldn't know where we're standing, but Gino's talked about it a little bit, and obviously we're not in the position we want to be in, but at the end of the day, that's in the past, and we got to look forward to our next game, and all we could do is worry about our next game and see what we do with that.
All right, well, the projections have you in the tournament, so you still have time perhaps to also become a host team. Some of that is kind of dependent on all these COVID rules and all that stuff, but it looks like you're going to get a chance at the postseason, and obviously that's a huge priority at the University of Miami.
Always, yeah, definitely.
You go to Boston College this week. You're on the road at Carolina, another road trip coming up at Boston College. This got to be a really big season, big series for you, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we had to play our game last night. We weren't even looking forward to Boston College, and now Boston College is here. We leave tomorrow morning, and I think we just got to take it one game at a time, and I think last night kind of put us on the right track for the weekend. So,
you know, along those lines, what do you think are some of the keys to finishing this regular season strong?
Yeah, definitely we just got to bring a lot of energy in the dugout and on the field, and I think if we relax and play our game and swing the bats how we know we can swing it, I think we'll be at a pretty good spot at the end of the year, right before playoffs.
You got the win last night against Florida Gulf Coast. You're undefeated in these midweek games. That certainly has been a priority for the squad under Gino, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. You know, a couple of years back, that was maybe one of the things that lost our appearances or our streak to the NCAA tournament. And once Gino was the head coach his first year, he pretty much preached these midweek games mean a lot, and we can't take them for granted. And we've been doing good this year, and we've been doing good in the past with our midweek games. So,
you know, these midweek games usually are against a team from Florida, right? Florida Gulf Coast, FIU, FAU, probably guys you've played against maybe in high school or travel ball. Does it make it more meaningful or more fun when you're playing against these in-state teams?
Yeah, it is pretty fun. I do have some guys, you know, on a bunch of teams in Florida. So normally if we play a team in Florida midweek game, Florida State, Florida, whatever, we'll all know a few guys, and it's always fun. It makes it more competitive.
Jordan Lala is our guest, University of Miami baseball team, a winner last night over Florida Gulf Coast. You got a shutout last night. I think you used five or six pitchers, but that'd be nice, a nice boost for your pitching staff, right, to be able to throw a shutout. Gulf Coast hasn't been shut out in 48 straight games.
Wow, yeah, I didn't even know that stat, but no, our pitchers they threw really well, and I think if the pitchers strikes and use our defense, I think we'll be in a lot better position.
I know coming into the season, you knew Adrian Del Castillo was going to drive in runs and hit for an average. How much of a surprise has it been to see Christian Del Castillo to have the kind of year he's having?
It's been unbelievable to watch him day in and day out. This guy comes out here with a smile and just has fun, and it's been fun watching him and playing alongside him.
The fact that you're able to, we probably talked about this the last time you were on the show, but you're coming down the stretch. The fact that you've made it, we're going to May, you've made it to May playing baseball under a lot of restrictions. Is there some relief and joy that you're getting through this season in a relatively safe manner?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We've definitely been blessed this season so far, and hopefully with playoffs coming up, we're even more blessed and we don't have any outbreaks or anything. So that now's the time we need everyone healthy and we need everyone on our team.
Have you guys taken that upon yourselves to make sure you take it serious? And I mean, you haven't lost any games to COVID yet, knock on wood. Hopefully I just didn't give you the broadcaster's jinx, but you know, it seems like you guys, you know, if there's peer pressure, usually that's the best answer.
Yeah, we know we need to be safe. We know we're in season and we have a goal, and we're on a mission to make it to go to Omaha and win this thing. So anything that's going to put our season in jeopardy, I don't think we're going to do that right now.
All right, let me ask you this one also. I asked if you look at the standings and all that stuff, but do you cheat and look around at college baseball to see who's doing what, who's ranked number one, who's in the top 10, maybe got some friends on other teams? Do you spend some time looking at other teams around the country?
I'll watch SportsCenter every now and then, and I'll read stuff on Twitter or Instagram, and I'll catch up with my friends. Yeah.
All right. How's school going? Everything well there?
Everything's going good. Yeah, we're coming down the stretch. This is our last week, and then exams next week. So after that, it'll be nice to just play baseball and not have to worry about school.
You know, I called that game last night. You see where I'm getting at, right? You led off with a home run. Josie called the game. You see something going on there?
I'm going to need you to call some more games.
All right, man. I appreciate you joining us on the show. Best of luck this weekend against Boston College. This was a little bit of a rivalry a couple of years ago. They came in here for a super regional. Of course, Miami won and went to the World Series, but it was kind of a heated super regional. I don't know if there's going to be that kind of emotion in Chestnut Hill, but it's a big series for you.
Yeah, I actually saw that video a couple of years back of my freshman year. I forgot one of my teammates had shown me that. You know, I like that kind of gameplay, and we'll see what happens, but we're going out there to win the series and hopefully sweep the series. So,
all right. Jordan Lawlaw, always a great guest for us on the show. Outstanding left fielder and leadoff hitter for the University of Miami. Lawlaw, thanks and the best of luck.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, in her 20th year as a head coach of the University of Miami women's tennis team, and one of the great coaches in the United States and at the University of Miami. And always fun to have with us Paige Yaroshuk-Tews. All right, in her 20th year as the head coach of the University of Miami women's tennis team and one of the great coaches in the United States and at the University of Miami. And always fun to have with us Paige Yaroshuk-Tews, one of the great coaches and great ambassador for the University of Miami. Paige, always a pleasure to have you on the show. And kind of in a holding pattern until Monday to figure out the NCAA tournament. But how would you sum up this recent regular season for you? A lot of things happened, had to play through COVID and all that, but I'm sure you had to be proud of the way your program finished.
No, I mean, of course, Joe, listen, we've been saving our best tennis for the end of the season. And, you know, I think we're peaking at the right time. We had some tough losses, you know, in the middle of the season to some really tough teams, some tough 4-3 losses, and we've responded well. We've come up with a couple big wins in the last month, and you know, I think we're ready to play a strong NCAA tournament and have a good showing.
What is it that you do that you get your players and your team to peak at this time of the year? And I swear, if these numbers were out there like in college basketball, people would be going, what? You know, you've made the Sweet 16 in 12 of the past 14 years. You've gone to the Elite Eight in 8 of the last 16 seasons. They are remarkable numbers. How do you get your team this ready or that ready at this time of the year?
You know, I think being healthy is really important. You know, if you look across the board, this is the time of year where kids start falling and teams start actually just weakening a little bit just based on their health and maybe based on, you know, injuries that might occur. It's something that we stay focused on all season, you know, which is the postseason. I tell the girls all the time that, you know, of course our regular season's important, right? It sets up our postseason, but, you know, NCAAs is the most important, followed by ACCs, followed by your regular season. That's the way we look at it. And with that being said, it all counts and it all matters. But I think we have like an incredible, incredible staff of physical therapists and trainers keeping these kids healthy, knowing when to peak, knowing when to rest, knowing when to go hard. And being healthy is a huge part of playing big in the postseason.
Do you think the opponent's antenna goes up in the postseason when they face Miami? Do you think they're saying now, because your reputation is going to be when Miami comes in, I would think the other coaches are telling their kids, hey, look, this is when they play their best.
I mean, right. Look, I hope so. I hope their antennas go up. I mean, I think we are playing our best. I think that that's a fair statement about the program. I think a lot of it has to do with our kids just believing in the philosophy in front of them. You know, there's days where we tell them to rest and they ask to come out in the afternoon and we tell them no, and they get annoyed with us. And then they start understanding the why behind it. You know, the kids have been sponges, and, you know, it's about being healthy, but it's also about learning, right? And learning from your past mistakes and implementing everything you've learned as the season moves forward. And, you know, it's big for the kids, it's big for the coaches, but there's a lot of belief that goes both ways in order to get there. And, you know, I mean, the goal is to have our opponents with their antennas up. But honestly, our antennas have to be up as well, because it's win or go home, right? Moving forward. So we've got to be ready to play.
How would you frame Stella's career for you? Fifth year, a national champion. How would you frame her career? Maybe we don't even have enough time on this show, but
yeah. I mean, you can't even put it into words, right? Everybody always wants me to put it into words, and it's tough to put into words. I'm not sure that I'll ever see another Salma Riba in my career at the University of Miami. Just who she is as a person, as a student, as an athlete. Kids like this don't come along very often, and she's been amazing. You know, rankings just came out today. She's taken over that top spot once again, and you know, she's another one that's looking to move forward and do some damage in the tournament as well as an individual.
What was the senior day like for you a couple of weeks ago? Did you make it through it okay?
I made it through it okay. Good thing I didn't have to speak. The scoreboard and the videos did everything. But yeah, no, listen, she's a tough one to lose. And you know, like I always tell these kids, you know, your program really never loses a player like this, because these are the players you talk about, and these are the players that your current players remember. And these are the players that really make a program moving forward. You know, kids come in and they make an impact in 4 years. Kids like Estella come in and they make an impact for 20 years. And so, yeah, you know, she's not going to be an easy one to say goodbye to, but she'll always be a part of this program.
You've been a part of the program 24 years. I mentioned 20 as the head coach. And one day we were talking about your coaching approach. And one of the things is you put a lot of trust in your players and your student athletes, and you get rewarded because of that trust, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you could be a great coach and not have a great group of kids, and you could look pretty bad. And I'm lucky enough to have a great group of kids that, you know, they believe in me and I believe in them. And I think that that's the only way you're going to have a solid program. You know, the trust needs to go both ways. They need to accept coaching. They need to accept constructive criticism. They need to accept everything that I put their way. And I also have to accept them coming into my office and telling me what they don't like or what they like. You know, this is a group that has to work together through thick and thin. And I tell them all the time, it's like a family. You know, you might leave here one day and you might not like me, or I might leave here one day and not like you. But at the end of the day, we have to love each other and be there for each other because we're a team. And, you know, it's something that we try to live by. And I can't tell you what an amazing group of girls that I have. And it's just nice to see. It's nice to see them, you know, reaping the benefits of all of their hard work, because they've put in a whole lot of hard work. They're a young group. They're a young squad. A lot of this is like a first time thing for so many of them. And to just see them really earning the respect that they're being given is just nice.
You advanced to the ACC Championship semifinals. Along the way, you beat Notre Dame. That's always good when the Hurricanes beat Notre Dame. And you beat Florida State, and that's always good when you beat Florida State.
Listen, we avenged a loss that we had taken to them, 4-3 loss with some match points on our racket a couple weeks earlier. I told my assistant, I said, I haven't wanted to win a match that bad in like 5 years. So it was nice to beat FSU, I'm not going to lie. I thought we were the better team. Came up a little short against Georgia Tech the next day, but all in all, helped ourselves, you know, had a solid tournament and got a little better along the way.
You mentioned a young team. You have a freshman, Isabella Fenning, 16-4 in the regular season in singles. Another player that has a chance to be an All-American and perhaps a really good postseason coming up.
Unbelievable. She's unbelievable. Freshman from Germany. I think rankings came out today. I want to say she was 10 in the country. She has really made a name for herself in the short time that she's been here. Her game, her style, her attitude, her fight. I think playing, behind Stella and seeing what Stella does and learning from Stella has helped her as well. And that's what this is about, turning over the torch. And Stella has done a great job of I think just leading by example. And I think that Bella's going to step into those shoes next season and have that number one spot and understand the respect that's necessary to be successful there.
The selection show is Monday. You're going to go to the tournament for the 25th consecutive year at the University of Miami, the women's tennis program, 25 straight years. That's remarkable. That's a remarkable achievement. Maybe we should discuss that as well as what do you expect to see in terms of your path in the postseason?
I mean, I'm expecting that we're going to go, most likely, we're probably most likely going to go to a UCF or a Florida. I think Florida would probably make the most sense heading to Gainesville, playing a team somewhere in the 13 to 16 range, second round. Can't overlook our first round. We'll have a tough first round opponent. The consistency, that this team has had over the years, it's crazy. People talk about the numbers and they talk about the NCAA tournaments. And it's really something that I don't focus on. It's something that the kids really don't focus on. We focus just on the daily grind. And trying to get it done and doing it right every day. And when you do that, things add up and great things happen at the end of the season. Sometimes the girls wonder why we're so methodical and crazy about focusing on the details. But, if you focus on the details beginning in September, you're not surprised when you're making the NCAA tournament right in May. It just is supposed to happen. And that's kind of what these kids have signed up for, and that's what they do, and the process kind of takes care of itself. But, our goal is to just take one match at a time and play some great tennis, and if we do, I think that we could do some damage.
By the way, can you explain this at the ACC tournament? Your match was moved, right? When you played Georgia Tech, you went from Rome, Georgia to Atlanta?
Actually, when we played FSU in the second round, we went from Rome, Georgia to Atlanta.
FSU, okay.
The indoor backup was in Atlanta. So, yeah, it was kind of a long day. We had to take like an hour, 40-minute bus ride to go play a match at a neutral site with no fans in Atlanta against FSU. And then get back in the bus, head back to Rome, and go COVID test at the facility. It was an interesting day, but we've gotten used to those over the years.
So when you have an adventure like that, we'll call it an adventure. What is the message to the team? Does that just become attitude? What do you say?
Listen, the message to the team is I told you so, because the entire season, I tell these kids, get comfortable being uncomfortable. Because the only way you have any shot of being successful at this is getting comfortable being uncomfortable. So when we have moments like that, I look at them and I simply say, I told you so. So get on the bus, put on your headphones, nobody fall asleep because we got a match to play. And now you understand what I'm talking about. That's the message.
Yeah, well, It certainly did seem to work, and it always seems to work this time of the year. You've got some great magic, and I think people are going to want to try to tap into that. But to get your teams to play as well as they do at this time of the year is not a coincidence.
Well, it's a combination of a great staff and a lot of kids that are bought in, and that's about it.
Yeah. All right, Paige, always great to have you on the show. Thanks very much for joining us, Paige Yerochuk II's Hall of Famer at the University of Miami, and doing another terrific job. Thank you for being with us, and the best of luck.
All right, Jeff. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.